Dean.
Yes, sir.
I talked to Nixon twice yesterday afternoon and last night.
No, I didn't.
I say I did.
Oh, yeah.
He called me after I talked again to Dirksen yesterday.
Right.
And he said, what did he think he could do to be helpful? I think his traveling out there, he'd be glad to go if he could. I told him no, that wasn't a question of travel, it's just a question of his getting message to the president that he supported the conference 100% and our policy 100%. There's going to be no change of it with a change in administration, that they misunderstood what had happened in this country. And that he should get his most trusted man, whoever's going to be his Secretary of State or his foreign policy advisor, to tell the ambassador that he wanted the president to know that this conversation had gone on back and forth, it was not with his approval, and that he assured the president, Johnson, that he supported the president's policies, and he thought that if you didn't go along with them, that no president could get any support for the South Vietnamese in this country.
Right.
And he said, all right, that he would work out some way to do that. So Howard called me back and said he's going to have Dirksen do it, that Dirksen knew the ambassador, that he would have Dirksen go see him if I'd send a plane for Dirksen this morning. I told him I would.
Yeah, that's good.
I called Dirksen. Who had been sympathetic with me and told me the night before that for me not to call Nixon and let Nixon call, that this ought to have gone on. And I seemed to be a little bit shocked by it, although he didn't talk too much about it. He just seemed surprised.
Yeah.
I told him that I would call him and get a plane out there this morning. I called Dirksen this morning to tell him, see where a plane should go. I had Jim Jones do it, and he is here in town at his country farm. He's driving in. He said he's going to call the ambassador at 8:30.
Right.
I thought you ought to brief him a little bit about what you thought he ought to say to you. He's getting this now by third hand, Johnson to Nixon to Dirksen.
Right.
And I thought the way to do it would be to say, send to Dirksen, Dean Rust, the president asked me to call you.
Right.
So you could be informed of the request that he made of Nixon last night, the suggestion he made of President Nixon and the president-elect.
Right.
And that the president-elect said he agreed to, and that he would ask you to convey. He wants you to say to the South Vietnamese that there's one policy that no one can defend the South Vietnamese if they don't go to the conference and get on over there next week.
Right.
And make it just about that blunt and tell him if he wants any more details that he'd be glad to give it. But these people are listening to the wrong folks in this country.
Right.
They don't listen to both presidents.
Does he know about the woman?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah, he knows.
You'll know what I mean then.
Yes, oh yeah, yes, yes. I'd give a pretty strong hint of it, kind of an indignation without being unpleasant, but he knows that there's a good many conversations, and I think Nixon knows it, and I think Nixon has been well aware of it, and my judgment is that Nixon sees the danger of it now, but I don't really know.
If this thing ever got out, this war is over as far as the American people are concerned.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Well,
he's going to call him, though, at 8:30, and the reason I called you at 8:15 was he told Jim Jones that he was waiting till 8:30 to call the ambassador and then go see him.
I'll call him
and right. I thought you better call him and just say that you, at the instruction of the president, wanted to get the exact message. I told Nixon he ought to write out one paragraph so it would be very firm and very definite and not very wobbly. Now, Dirksen's liable to wobble all over the lot like some of us senators do at times, so you better be very compact in what you want him to say.
All right.
Okay.
All right.